We're going to talk a little NFL football here. Field Yates is with us from ESPN. He joins us each and every Friday. His appearance is brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out betterplantoday.com and schedule yourself a free consultation. Field, how are you, sir?
Hey, Field.
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
We're doing well. And before we get into our more serious NFL topic, we were just talking. Well, there's the story that's gone viral. I don't know if you've even seen it yet. There's this soccer dad, eight and under league.
You've seen it.
Pushes his kid back into the goal, knocks him down because he wasn't paying attention, but he throws him right into the ball and stops a goal and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, we got into trading horror stories about parents and little league, whether we were coaching or whether we're playing. Certainly you must have some kind of story from your childhood. I don't know which sports you played or if your parents were well behaved, but anything come to mind while we're talking about these such things?
Well, you name a sport, and I played them all when I was a kid, that's for sure. Football, basketball, lacrosse, baseball, soccer, hockey, you name them all. You know, I had two very supportive parents in terms of, you know, their athletic competition and encouraging me and my siblings to play the game. My mom, though, was, you know, at least in my mind, the loudest cheerer in the history of American pro sports. She was infamous, I guess I would say famous, not infamous, but... You know, when we were playing hockey or lacrosse, she'd say, go to the crease, go to the crease. Or in football, short sideline passes, short sideline passes. So she was you know, offensive coordinator from the football sidelines and ice hockey rink sidelines or the stands, whatever you might call it. So I always loved you. You knew your parents were there when you could hear your mom's voice.
That's good. That's so awesome. No parents getting into it in the parking lot like we had some experiences with. Nothing like that.
No, not that I remember. You know, my dad wouldn't, you know, he's from Hawaii. They're a laid-back lifestyle. He would hurt a fly. And, of course, my mom, being the wonderful woman she is, she was an ardent supporter. But, no, never, ever got physical with anybody. At least in my experiences there.
Well, I mean, I've known you for a long time. I didn't know your dad was from Hawaii. So is he a big Alabama fan? Is he a big Tua fan? Because we have our producer, Chris, in the other room. You know, he's got posters of him all over his house.
Yeah, he certainly, you know, there's a lot of reverence for Tua and what he has done so far with Alabama. He's only just scratching the surface. You know, there's so much pride from those who hail from Hawaii. In the various people that have made a mark, you know, my dad, big Marcus Mariota fan. Mariota went to St. Louis High School, which is where my dad began his high school career, and my grandfather went there as well. So I tell you what, it's amazing to see how much they rally around those who come from their beautiful set of islands there. Mm. And Marcus Mariota, while he has had some ups and downs as an NFL quarterback, has done nothing but make those who know him from when he was either in high school or college very, very proud.
Field Yates is with us from ESPN with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. All right, now to the subject at hand. Let us start with last night's game and the Steelers and the Carolina Panthers. You know, we were just having a conversation yesterday about who is that next upper crust in the NFC right behind the Saints and the Rams. And we thought maybe it was the Carolina Panthers. But then again, road team on a Thursday night, who knows? But that felt like a little bit of a statement game with the Steelers and Le'Veon, you know, off in the distance. Watch, I mean, just it was a weird game last night.
It was, and this is one of those where I think that if they play that game 100 times, it's probably not nearly as close. I'm sorry, as disparate as last night's game was. It got away from the Panthers early on. That isn't to say that they're the better team than the Steelers, because the Steelers really just completely demolished them yesterday, but I do think that the Panthers have enough talent to be more competitive than what they showed last night. From the NFL, you don't get do-overs. And for the Steelers, what a critical win that was. And I'll say this, we talk about the offense with good reason in Pittsburgh all the time, but they are finding a way defensively, I'd say even more than finding a way, they're really piecing things together nicely. Been a much improved effort from all those with the Pittsburgh Steelers on the defensive side of the ball. Vince Williams, a linebacker, scores a touchdown yesterday. T.J. Watt was all over the field. So the Steelers, we know, are going to be able to put up points with the best of them. But if you're playing a Kansas City or a Los Angeles Chargers or New England Patriots in the playoffs, you're going to have to find a way to get some key stops. And the Pittsburgh defense is rounding into form right now in a way that didn't even seem possible at the beginning of the season.
Well, I mean, as always, a lot of intrigue. Despite the records and everything, you know, the Dolphins and Jets last week, Field, as you know, played one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life. And despite the Dolphins' wins, may have set the league back 10 years. by how they performed. However, we all know the NFL is nuts. Everything changes on a weekly basis. Can the Dolphins go in? Are the Dolphins, could they catch the Packers at the right time here? Reeling a little bit from the beatdown they took against the Patriots last week. They're home, though. It's going to be freezing probably at Lambeau at 425, on Sunday. Do the Dolphins have a chance to at least make this game respectable, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think they do. The spread's 9.5 points. And I think what we have to find out with the Packers, and who knows if we'll figure it out by this time or at any point soon, but the Packers have an unbelievable quarterback, and that's like the least breaking news statement I could ever make in my life, and Aaron Rodgers. But I don't know how good the rest of the roster is, guys. And they've been competitive over the past 2 weeks. The game with the Patriots was 14 points, but that obviously was a fourth quarter margin.
Yep.
And with the Rams, it went down to the final kickoff. But the Packers have some holes defensively. They have some injuries offensively. So I think the Dolphins can find a way. You know, the beginning of the year, you know, we know they have been up and down, right? The Dolphins are 2-4 in their last six games after a 3-0 start. Mm-hmm. But I'm certainly curious to see whether Green Bay ever puts it all together and makes one last playoff push this season. It's getting late early for them because the Bears seem to be, you know, in pretty good shape, and we know the Vikings are very talented. So Green Bay is, I don't want to say playing elimination games from here on out, but they basically are, at least amongst the games that they should win based off of their talent and ability.
What about your thoughts with the Dolphins and Rashard Jones and just not returning to the game? I don't know if it's a beef with Matt Burke, the defensive coordinator. Adam Gase didn't seem too concerned about it. I would have been very concerned about it. I don't like it, but not too much information has come out on this story. Do you have anything to add there?
No, I don't have anything to add. And I would just say that, you know, there are times we have to take coaches at their word, and there are times where I think it's fair to wonder whether or not what a situation actually offers that goes beyond what we already know. And listen, when a player takes himself out of the game, and this is not some backup, you know, player that's playing 10 or 12 snaps, you're talking about, I think, you know, one of the Dolphins' most valuable defensive players when he's healthy and playing to his maximum ability. So family business will stay that way. I think there's a chance that we don't ever learn much more about this. But I think that a good coach, and I think that both Matt Burke and certainly Adam Gase are good coaches, will smooth this over in relatively short order, which as in like by Sunday. And they need Rashard Jones. You know, they need him. They need him because that Packers offense, even with injuries to Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb being iffy for Sunday, they need him to deter the passing game that, you know, Jimmy Graham has been better this year than he's been in a couple of years.
I think the Dallas Cowboys always draw. When is there not drama around Dallas? Now we have seven-year-olds writing letters. I read the whole letter on the air today. It was very emotional about Jerry Jones. but you know, here's Dallas last week, and they lose to the Titans, who are ranked 30th on offense. They're number one in points allowed. It's fantastic, but 30th on offense. Now they're going to head to Philadelphia. And I know on paper this looks like I've already heard it too many times, and blowout city, blah, blah, blah. Now, this same Philadelphia team whipped them in Dallas last year 37-9. But I think the second time that they played, what people don't remember, is Dallas went into Philadelphia last year and won 6-0, which in this day and age seems almost impossible. Can they pull off that miracle again, Field?
If I'm not mistaken, that was week 17 last year, right?
Yes, so no, December 9th.
It's almost like the fifth preseason game.
Yeah.
So I sort of look at it like that is, hey, you know, like, I don't know just how much to expect. I sort of feel like, you know, it may not be, like, that might be less indicative of how the game actually played out, right? Because, like, talent-wise. I don't know, guys. I don't know what to make of this Dallas team because they're good defensively and they can't get out of their own way on offense. I think Philadelphia is better than the record shows. But Philadelphia, I've been sort of feeling like they could be a sleeping giant, but it's got to start right away because they have very little margin for error. Not because the NFC East is very good, but just because if you don't, like, last year the Falcons were a pretty good team that was the sixth seed in the NFC, and it was going to take an absolute beast mode run to make noise in the NFC playoffs. Now, they beat the Rams in the first game, then they almost beat the Falcons in the second game, but like, it was going to be really difficult. Like, for a bigger picture standpoint, the NFC East, the champ, whoever it will eventually be, and I think Philadelphia's got a shot, has got to start finding their rhythm right now.
Speaking of the NFC East, final question for me. Eli Manning was told by Pat Shurmur, he says, look, I'm not making any guarantees past this Monday night's game against the 49ers at quarterback. We've all got to play better. Do you think he's greasing the skids to make the switch after Monday night at quarterback, whatever that switch may be?
I don't know, guys. I really don't have a great answer, and here's the reason why is I just don't know that Kyle LaLetta is ready. And, you know, I think I may have said this last week on the show, but, like, it's one thing to be physically ready, but you got to be, intangibles-wise, really ready. And when you get pulled over in the same spot back-to-back days, that's a lack of maturity that you can't have from an NFL quarterback. So we'll see whether or not the Giants make a switch. And I could be way off here. I tend to think that nothing happens before December when it comes to the Giants starting quarterback.
All right, one more I want to ask you. It's a fantasy question. This guy is a 239 texter. Wants to ask you. He's having a hard time on a trade offer. I trade Juju and Tevin Coleman for Antonio Brown. I already have. I already have. I'm sorry. I lost the stupid. forget it.
Why don't you ask him a personal fantasy for your lousy team, and then send him on his way.
I've lost six in a row. But College Game Day tomorrow at Alumni Stadium, that doesn't happen very often. Of course, the worst place in America to tailgate is at Boston College. We know that. Clemson, BC tomorrow night. Is there a buzz up there?
I actually just came from Boston College right before this. Had a chance to go check out the setup there, and it's going to be terrific. And BC atmosphere, I think, has really changed under new leadership. Martin Jarman, the athletic director there for the past 12 to 18 months, has done a nice job of infusing some real energy into Chestnut Hill and into Boston College. And who knows how the game will play out, whether they can keep things competitive. But it's been a great buzz leading up to this game, and the program seems to be certainly going in the right direction.
Sweet. All right, Field, we'll let you get on your way. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Field.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Field Yates from ESPN, our NFL insider. His appearance is brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out the website at betterplantoday.com and schedule a free consultation.